WGCH.com anywhere. The WGCH National News Report on the hour at 8. I'll be back with our top local stories, 8:05. Half hour from now at 8:21, our monthly segment with Stanford High School's online newspaper, The Roundtable. WGCH News Center Time, 7:51, second Thursday of each month. State Representative Stephen Meskers joins me. Good morning, Representative Meskers. How are you today?
Good morning, Tony. Doing quite well. Getting ready for another day up in the Capitol.
All right. Tell us your thoughts about the session and the governor's state of the state.
You know, I'll be speaking, I think, later on this session to the Retired Men's Association, or soon. The fact that the state of the state, I don't think we've been in a better position financially for quite some time. There's still jobs. Growth we're lacking, or the recovery in jobs post-pandemic we still need. But the financial results and the financial positioning of the state are unparalleled for the last 10 to 15 years. We've got a balanced budget, albeit with aid from the Fed. We've got a rainy day fund at 15%. We are finally beginning to pay down some of the 30 to 40-year unfunded pension liabilities that were outstanding and unattended to for two decades. So we're beginning to make significant improvements against the headwinds. So I'm pretty happy where we're standing today.
All right. What was your reaction to what the governor has laid out in his budget?
You know, I think it's a pretty reasonable deal. The most important, I think, for moderate-income seniors in the state is that we are going to accelerate the exemption for Social Security, pension, and IRA income. So the cap is, I think, just a gross income for an individual at 75, for a couple at 100. I would prefer to see the couple, you know, up at 125 to 150, but it's going to leave them exempt from the state income tax. That plan wasn't going to happen in its entirety until 2026. So if the governor's a request becomes law, it'll happen, I believe, in 2023. We will move it forward, so we will get a tax holiday, if you will, for our seniors who in that income range between 75 and 100,000. I think that's an extraordinarily positive sign.
All right. Tell us about some of your committee work in the context of what you want to get done with this short session on the budget.
Well, I want to continue to work with the insurance committee. I think the first thing we need to do is we have to modify one of our insurance bills. Problem being that the insurance bill that was meant to allow patients to apply coupons on their high deductible plans has a potential tax consequence with the deductibility of your health savings accounts. So we've got to modify the bill in the insurance committee to make sure that we stand forward and aren't in violation of federal law, so we don't force people to lose their tax deduction on their HSA account. So we have to modify that. So that will be one of my earliest priorities. The second priority is obviously to see that the seniors are protected and that I endorse the governor's plan to exempt them from income taxes.
Right. All right.
Those are my two biggest.
Oh, sorry to cut you off. Okay, let's talk about the mask mandate and what's going to be happening with that over the next days and weeks.
Okay, well, there's been so much back and forth and frustration, and the science has evolved, and the questions about the effectiveness of masks, the questions about the vaccination rate, the exposure to the virus, and whether or not we are already moved into an endemic versus a pandemic state. There is a request by the governor to end the mask mandate on the 28th. I think the legislature is looking at crafting a bill that would turn it over to the State Department of Education, Department of Health, if I'm not mistaken, and that they would then have to make the final decision, and then the towns would have 10 days to implement. I think it's dragging on too long. I think it's time for us to bring the mask mandate home to a local level. I think the vaccination rates, our ability to manage the virus, are significant. So I'll be voting to not to extend the emergency order and the mask mandate. Unfortunately, that leaves me in voting against the entire bundle of executive orders, the majority of which I support. They're mostly related to licensing across state lines for healthcare workers. So there are other pieces that are going to need to be fixed if the bill ultimately fails, right? Okay. I can't predict how it'll be in the assembly, but I will not be voting.
Okay. Is that vote today?
I anticipate the vote will be today. I expect an energy technology meeting at 10:30. It's at a committee meeting early. I think we sit in General Assembly at 12:30, and I don't know how long the debate and how virulent the debate will be. We could be there till midnight or longer.
Okay.
But it should happen today.
Earlier this week, you were among a group of Greenwich officials at Armstrong mm-hmm. Court talking about zoning. What's going to be the fate of 830G in this session as we move forward?
Well, the only way 830G is changed is if there's a consensus in the House and Senate. The bill is from, I believe, the 1980s. And it's faced challenges, but it's never been overturned. And I don't know if it's ever had any substantial amendments. So it's an uphill battle to amend 830G. The intent of 830G in most of the towns has been to encourage them, with the risk of falling under 830G, encourage them to build a larger stock of affordable housing. This year, because of the rally in the prices of real estate, the increase in rental values in Greenwich, there's a window now where the builders are finding 830G advantageous. It's an incentive to developers to build 30% what's qualified as affordable housing against the base of 70% at market. Now, the problem is it allows for higher density building. So if I'm short 10 units of affordable housing, I basically am going to get stuck building something on the order of 40 units or 35 units of market-based housing or close to that, or the ratio to get those incremental units of affordable housing. So it's a very crude and rough tool. It generally has worked to encourage towns to increase their stock of affordable housing through zoning and through active engagement. We're behind on that. So the arguments that I think we're going to approach are that we have a higher naturally occurring base of affordable housing, and that we are a diverse community, and we're going to, advance those arguments. I'm not sure where we will go. My personal role as a representative in House of Representatives will be to do my best to secure funding for a housing authority so that instead of building the 35 or that ratio of market-based and affordable housing, that I can help to secure the funding to build affordable housing so that the number of units that would show up in our town, number of units of housing, would be less. I think our deficit is somewhere on the order of 500 to 1,000 units of affordable housing. That would mean we would have to build 4,000 units overall with market-based housing. I think that's a big development for a town our size and for a town that prefers a more suburban development style. So I would be working with the legislature and with the governor's office to try to secure funding for us to build the affordable housing, those 500 units or so, and see how we can get to a moratorium or see how we can get to a point where we've built the affordable housing stock that we've all agreed, or when we agree on what we want, that we go there. I have to work on implementing parts of the strategy to the best of my ability to represent my constituents.
All right. And then finally, we're just out of time. Central Middle School and implications RTM-wise and for you and state-wise.
Okay. So I sat on the state, I sat on the RTM and I was on the education for 18 years. The Central Middle School problems are not new. We need to move forward with the rebuilding of the school. I think now that we're in crisis, we finally recognize that. But while we're circling the crisis on Central Middle School, I'm, calling on us as an RTM and I'm calling on the BET to remedy the Western Middle School grounds. The contamination has left the playing fields there closed for 6 years. It's unacceptable. We need to find the resources. We need to remedy that. In my role in the state, I will work in whatever role the town feels would help with the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection to get to an agreed on remediation so those fields can get reopened for our students. It's unacceptable that our kids in the western part of town do not have playing fields, and I'll be advocating for that.
All right, fantastic. State Representative Stephen Mesker, it's good to talk to you this morning. Have yourself a great day. Good, safe trip to Hartford, and we'll talk next month. Thank you. Actually, we'll talk next Monday for our preview for your talk next week before the RTM. Forgot about that.
Exactly. All right, take care, Tim.
Talk to you. Bye-bye. State Representative Stephen Meskers.